Welcome to the seventh video on ancient Rome. Today we're going to continue on with the Roman classes and social units. Now in the last video we looked at the struggles between the plebeians and the patricians. In this video we're going to look at some of the social units and specifically some of the family structures and what they were all about. In the next video we'll move on to the government institutions of ancient Rome. Now when we talk about the family structure of ancient Rome, there are three primary divisions. There is the Roman family, which is the smallest unit. Next up on the chain is the Roman clan. And then the largest unit is the Roman tribe. And we are going to examine all three of these right now. Okay, so let's talk about the Roman family. And before we do that, I want you to take a look at that image. I find that absolutely amazing. It's one of the most amazing artifacts I think they've ever found in ancient Rome because it really is very striking to me. When you take a look at that, it's almost like you're looking through a window of time. And the accuracy to me is very incredible. It almost looks like this could be a family from today. I mean, it looks very, very modern. In any event, I digress, so let's move on. And as I said, the smallest social unit in Roman society was the family, similar to modern times. Now, the father was the head of the household. And when I say household, it's not just his wife and children. It could be other relatives. And for the nobility, it could be slaves and servants who are also considered part of the household. So just keep that in mind. Now, the head of the household had absolute power over everyone living with him. He could arrange marriages, force divorces. He could sell his children into slavery if he wanted to. And he even had the right to kill family members. It was all at his discretion. And when a new baby was born, it would be laid at its father's feet. And if the father picked the baby up, it would live. But if he ignored the baby, it would be left to die. So this kind of reminds me a little bit of what was going on with ancient Sparta. If you remember, babies would simply be tossed over the cliff if they were deemed weak. Now, the only difference was that was determined by the state. In Rome, it was determined by the father of the household. Now, women in the ancient Roman family were expected to run the home and cook meals and raise the children. Now, if they were part of the nobility, a woman could have slaves do all the work. Now, the father had absolute control over his sons, and the sons in a particular Roman family had no control over the property until their father died. So as long as the father lived, he had no control over any of the estate. Now, in terms of marriage, many girls were married off at around the age of 14. Now, these were not marriages based off of love. Most of these marriages were based off political and financial considerations. In other words, money. And this was really the case in the upper classes. Now, having a son was very important for the family to continue on. So if a woman didn't give birth to a son, the husband might divorce his wife as a result. And a lot of women actually died very young. They would die giving childbirth because it was quite dangerous. Now, in the early Republic, there were no public schools the way we think of them. So the children were usually taught to read and write by their parents. Or if their parents were wealthy, they could hire slaves to tutor them. Now, young boys could be taught a lot of different things. They would be taught all about the Roman traditions and the religious and political functions. And this was definitely the case for the upper classes. And so it wasn't uncommon for a young boy to accompany his father to the Senate and all the great Roman buildings. Some of the subjects they learned would be history, math, and the classics. And much of this was done to prepare them for their future participation in the Roman army and government. Now, as a son of nobility, you would have been expected to carry on the family traditions, and especially carry on the family name. So the upbringing could be quite strict. And as I mentioned before, a young boy would have been taught all about Rome's greatness. In terms of the great conquests and military traditions, you would have known all the great Roman generals and legends and mythology. Now the food mostly consisted of bread, cheese, fruits, and porridge. Meat was more of a luxury, but that depended on where you lived. If you lived in the city, meat was harder to come by. But if you lived out in the countryside, it was more common to have meat at your meals because it was easier to hunt. Now, as the population of Rome grew, the city became very dirty and smelly. And so a lot of Roman families were cramped into all of these small, tiny little Roman houses on the streets. In fact, when Roman aristocrats needed to pander to the poorer classes, they would hold a rose to their nose when they walked down these streets. Now, there's one final point I'd like to make before we go to the next slide. The father was also in charge of all of the family worship and religious rites. And that, of course, was always a big deal in ancient Rome. So any libations that needed to be done were always done by the father. Okay, let's move on to the Roman clan now. And this was essentially a group of related households that formed a larger network of families. And again, that was called a clan. Clans would become the dominant political system in the early republic. They were linked together by a common ancestor through marriage and were also linked through a worship of similar gods. The primary purpose of the clan was economic. Farmland was distributed to clan members and was managed by the clan associations. Thus, many of the early clans had a rural composition, and the leader of the clan could distribute land accordingly. Now, each clan was considered either patrician or plebeian, but there were some clans that had both patrician and plebeian branches. Now, some of these clans were so large that they operated almost as their own little mini-states, and they were governed by their own elders and own assemblies. And so they also had their own customs. Now, if a member of a particular clan died and didn't have an immediate family, his property was distributed to the rest of the clan. And so that's how that worked. Now, once a decision was made by the clan, that would be binding on all the rest of its members. And eventually, the clan system had a considerable influence on the development of Roman law. Now, I want to talk about a little bit about the naming conventions in ancient Rome. Each clan had a clan name, and a lot of times your name would have that clan name. So, for instance, Caesar's name, if we take a look at this, the full name was Gaius Julius Caesar, and the name Julius was based off of his clan name. His family name, which we discussed in the last slide, was Caesar. Now, above the structure of the clans was the tribe, and this was the largest division of the Roman people. These were essentially very large religious and military communities, which might reside on an entire hill inside Rome or have control of a large portion of the countryside outside of the city. Like the clan, the tribe was governed by a council of elders. Now, tribes had a great deal of influence on Roman politics, so much so that they might be thought of as a political party. In fact, voters registered with a particular tribe, and therefore every Roman citizen had to belong to a particular tribe. Now, in early times, Rome was divided into three main tribes, and those were the three tribes that founded Rome. Eventually, that was expanded to 35 tribes, but it was capped at 35. Rome decided not to expand the number of tribes past 35. As a result, the tribes no longer represented a single district. They came to include large territories in Italy proper. Now, one final point I'd like to make before we close out this video is that each tribe had an equal vote in the tribal assembly, and we will get to the government structures in the next video. I will see you guys then.